This is Scott Becker with Becker's Healthcare. I'm thrilled today to be joined by Dilya Passy. Dilya has created a magnificent organization that does something called the Women's Choice Awards, and has a fascinating background and history of what she does. Dilya, can you take a moment to introduce yourself?
Absolutely. Thank you, Scott, for having me on. I was a group publisher of Working Mother and Working Woman for many years, and then you've heard the story before. You know, people have this life-altering thing that happens to them, and then they go, oh, that's it, I'm going to change the world. Well, it happened to me with healthcare. And, you know, said, okay, this is it. This is my calling. No woman is ever going to go without having a resource to know where to go for the best healthcare in the country. And I made it my mission, and I created the Women's Choice Award, and we started with best hospitals.
And how long have you been doing for, and is it a labor of love, would you say? I mean, Working Mother, that became a famous magazine. How has this developed, and is it a labor of love? How's it going? Tell us more about it.
Yeah, well, it was perfect timing. It was like the perfect storm. We were selling Working Mother magazine, which became an iconic brand internationally. And, you know, I had a choice. I was offered the president's job of TV Guide and so forth. And I said, you know what, this is a perfect time because I was diagnosed with breast cancer at the time. And I said, okay, there's, you know, when you go through those life-altering things and you decide, okay, there's something better out there. I decided to put my all of my energy, my passion, my career, my contacts, everything I had toward empowering women to have better health care. And, oh, trust me, it's a labor of love. Every single day I get up and I said, if I can empower one more woman, I'm doing my job.
I know. I've heard from my team over the years what a powerful advocate you are. And how good you are at what you do. And so take a moment and talk to us about advice you have for leaders, particularly advice you might have for women leaders.
Okay. Oh, sure. You know, I'll tell you, whether you're a man or a woman, to become truly a good leader, you know, doesn't happen overnight. It's an art, it's a science. But what I've learned myself is that to be a good leader means that I have to really nurture people. I have to identify the talent, you know, really build them at all levels, from entry level up, not just at the highest level, and really bring these people up along with me. And, you know, I learned a lot from men, you know, while I was in my corporate world, how to bring people along with you. The other thing is training, you know, train your people. I'm a big advocate of training. Gender communications, especially out there in the business world, teaching them and giving them the skills to be an effective leader. I also believe in diversity and inclusion. So, you know, bring people along from every, like I love to nurture women leaders, but I love when pull men into it, bring them up along with them, let them work together collectively. The power behind that is it's enormous. And then effective communication, become a great listener, you know, become active listening. What do they say? You have two ears, one mouth, do twice as much listening.
When you talk about sort of nurturing and developing people and training and so forth, let me ask you this question. You had this great career at Working Mother. You had the ability, you're a group publisher, it's a big, big job. You had the chance to become president of TV Guide. These are big roles that require the development of great teams. All of us know that nothing great gets done without a great team. In starting your new effort, the Women's Choice Awards, was the most daunting thing trying to again develop a team, or how did you go about that?
Yes, finding the right people who get your vision, who don't look at this as a job, but it's an investment in their own career to be with somebody who they could admire, they could respect the passion behind it. But more and more, and I think your listeners are going to agree with me, that more and more today, I get people coming to me saying, Dilya, it's not about the company anymore. It's about the mission of the company. It's about getting behind organizations that I can feel good about working there. So it really is finding those people with the talent who see your vision, who want to be the game changer along with you. And, you know, they're going to take the risk along with you, and they're going to be bold and innovative, because today that's the only way to cut through the clutter.
You've done a terrific job in this, in cutting through the clutter. I can't tell you how much the team that I work with speaks about what you do and made it an imperative that we include what you do in the different things that we do. And it's a fascinating thing, because our team gets inundated with lots of different requests, and they have to filter through what's the clutter and what's not. Was your skill set one that came to you sort of through, you were born with the skill set you have, or did you have to develop it through a lot of hard work and development? What's the mix of natural skill set in a person like you versus the development, training, and growth along the way?
I'm a very, first of all, thank you, and thank your staff for, you know, being able to embrace my vision and also the mission of the organization. But first, I love people, and I love talking to people, I love listening to people, I love learning from people. And when I speak to people, I don't care what level you are so important to me. The whole room can go blank, but when you're talking to me, it's all about you. And that has been really a natural talent of mine, but I've learned to hone in on that. And so I think that's very important to make everybody feel appreciated. The other thing is that you have to have passion for what you do. You have to have a love of it, passion of it, because money is not enough. It's got to be, like you, Scott, a labor of love, that you're making a difference, you're building an empire that people can really respect the work that you're doing, and you surround yourself with excellent people who care about just doing it a little bit better than everyone else. So that makes you successful. It's an art and a science, of course, but listen to people. And when they say, you know, you could do better here or you could do better there, you know, take it to heart. Don't make excuses for behavior. Look at it as an opportunity to grow.
Is there a particular woman that you admire, a woman leader that you admire, and sort of why?
That's a tough one, because I have, you know, it's, to me, it's a little unfair when there are so many extraordinary women out there blazing trails, making work, and then people who, like in your industry, I have to tell you, when I saw that, you know, the last podcast or listened to the last podcast with Jonice Spiezo from UCLA, you know, she's a very bold, innovative leader. I think she's doing great things. She's not afraid to put herself out there. No matter how busy she is, she'll find the time. And I think that that really is a tribute. Julie Miller Phipps from Kaiser Permanente, who is now running all of Southern California. I think she must have, you know, over 20 facilities under her. She is, not only is she an extraordinary woman leader, but when I called her when I only had a vision, not even a website, and I said, here's my vision, she said, Delia, I'm behind you. And both, by the way, both these women are on my advisory board, but I'm behind you. And you have to have a lot of guts when you have the ability and the foresight to see something that can change the world for the better and get behind it without it being proven. Those are the people that I respect, I admire, and I appreciate.
And let me ask you a following question to that. And again, is there a specific mentor that you've had that's really impacted you? And again, whether it's one or several, anyone that specifically comes to mind, and if not, the qualities of mentors that you've had that have been particularly helpful?
One of the things that I would say probably a key to success, especially if you're starting up a new organization or you're reorganizing an organization, is vision. If you don't have a clear vision, I'm talking about, I call it the third eye, where you, in a crystal clear fashion, are able to detail you know, the direction, the strategy, the execution, the outcome, where you can see it so clearly, that is the way to make it happen. That is the path to success. And there's people who have done it. I've seen Mary Barra from GM do that, having met her a few times. Just the ability to articulate the vision of an organization a year, 2 years, 3, 5, 10 years down the line, that's quite a skill and a tribute to a leader.
And so one of the things that happens in organizations today, and I could not agree with you more about what you're saying about vision and clarity, is it's almost like the nature versus nurture question. So many organizations today get hell-bent on surveys to try and determine what they think their customers or constituencies may want versus a leader that's so clear they could sort of see it through the trees and determine, you know, what really needs to be done. What's your sense of this kind of leadership by survey, leadership by true vision, leadership by consensus? How do you sort of come to that vision? I mean, when you're doing it well, I take it what you developed with the Women's Choice Award, I take it that was truly your vision and your clarity versus a lot of surveying and talking to people, or was it some balance?
Well, remember, people don't know what they want until they see it or it gets created. So if you to ask people years ago, would you want a little box that you could hold and it's a phone and has all your personal, they would go, you're crazy. I have a telephone. What do I need it for? I have the same thing with Starbucks, right? Who would have thought when we can go down to the diner and get for 50 cents a cup of coffee that people would say, you know, if you ask those same people sitting in the diner, would you buy a $4 cup of coffee? They'd go, you're crazy. So if you think to develop your future strategy on consensus and survey and research, then you're not going to be the innovator out there. You're just going to use some best practices and continue to kind of grow your existing strategy. But That's not how you break through. That's not how you become bold. Listening through research. We are a research-based company. We're a leader in research in the women's market. Nobody does more consumer research than Women Certified, which is the parent company. And we do major, I'm doing a big Amazon project right now, Kenmore project. I can go on and on. No one knows women better than we do. And when people tell me that, well, our research and our survey says it's because you are asking questions and that you will get the answer that you're looking for when you ask a question, people don't know until you bring them something better. So research has its limitation. It's directional. That's all it is. But we need to think about, you know, how do we become, and also the breakthrough from what has been done, because, you know, consumers are getting fatigued and we want to give them something that they can get behind that makes them feel better about the experience, patient experience, very important. I know I'm going on, but, you know, very, very important to look at, you know, what is innovative in patient experience and not just what you're doing, but how can you do it a little bit better? And you can't ask the patient that because they're not going to know. You have to innovate, create, execute, and then look at results based on that.
Who is the, at the end of the day, all this research is done around a whole number of things, and then somebody has to be brilliant, or maybe that's a wrong word, who could actually look at it and make sense of it and break it down to, here's the three things we really need to do, or here's the clarity of strategy. And where do you find those people that can really synthesize the whole thing and take the research and turn it into a vision in an effective way?
You know what? Let me tell you, when we nail that one, let me know too, because I'm out there looking. You know, it is. You really need the people who could grasp the vision. So first, it starts with the leader, and the leader tends to be the visionary, and the visionary is the one who, you know, could paint the picture. But it's like Disney. You know, you had Walt Disney, but he was a visionary, but it wasn't him who brought it to life. It was really the operationals person, his right hand, who took the vision and then meticulously, in detail, organized the execution of it. So I think it's more, maybe the question is more, if I can see it and we know that there's a better way of doing creating healthcare or the patient experience in our hospital or nurturing the future leaders of our organization or not looking at the, because healthcare tends to be a little bit behind in getting, being progressive when it comes to marketing, for example. So how do we take the next generation of marketing? When you have somebody who's pushing it, don't go back to the same old. Just think about who within your organization or outside of your organization could actually verbalize and then through planning and development execute.
Fantastic. And in a different question, you've had a couple different stages of your career, and I've always admired people that are able to have a second act, a second magnificent act after a first magnificent act. How do you keep yourself motivated and excited for the future and what you're doing today?
I don't know what I would do. I'm 59, so I don't know what I would do when I think about retiring, because we all have so much to offer and it gets exhausting. And I don't think there's not one of us who's listening to this who sometimes wants to throw their hands up in the air and go, I give up, or time to go, sit in the Bahamas for a couple months, or maybe some other island right now. But, it's just, it happens to all of us. But at the end of the day, when you have a clear vision, if you feel like you're giving up, if you don't make it bigger and better. And I don't think anyone who listens to a podcast, because people who listen to podcasts are progressive, and I congratulate all of you. You just want to learn. You want to be a student of life. And those are the people who tend to get further because they invest in themselves and they invest in the people around them. And you know what? We're not going to give up because we just have this inner drive to just do things better than the rest and surround ourselves with people like you, Scott, and your team who can get us there faster. And that's why you have to appreciate these relationships and partner and do it together.
And let me ask you a follow-up question to that. And again, I love your drive, and I love the concept of I'm not done. What am I going to do? I'm not going to not do something, and excited about this. It's magnificent, and it's healthy, and it's needed on a million levels. The next question I have for you is, you've made a couple changes over the course of your career. When you make those changes, is it daunting? Is it scary? Is it exciting? All of the above. And any advice for people as they make those changes?
Yeah, it's terrifying. And I have to tell you that I was fortunate. My husband at the time had a very good job, and I could depend a little bit on being able to have that financial hit, because when you walk away from a very lucrative career, life is going to change. And I sat with him and we had a very long talk. I sat with my financial advisor to figure out how long I could sustain this. And actually, I chose the route after doing this for a year, not making any money, and realizing that I could use a little boost. I went and raised $1 million to kind of get the talent in that I needed to kind of get there a little faster. So I did that, but I will tell you, I always recommend to anyone, treat this like a business. You don't like a real business strategy. Don't go into it and just throw your hands up in the air. I'm going to do this. You have to have a backup plan, and you need to know how you're going to support yourself during those things. And I'm not saying a backup plan to say, if I fail. That has never, ever crossed my mind. You cannot go into a business saying, if I fail, because that then you always have the safety net at the bottom and you never take it. You never take the risk. You've got to go into it that I will not fail and I will do what I need to do to succeed, but know that you have the financial wherewithal to make it happen.
In sort of one final question for you, Delia, if this year goes well, what does it look like for you? What does it look like for the Women's Choice Awards?
if this year goes well, I'm going to give you my little wish list for all the hospital leaders and healthcare leaders, because we do ambulatory, urgent care, hospitals. You know, the Women's Choice Award is trying to empower every consumer to choose the best healthcare out there. And, you know, everything we do is based on publicly available information, so we're a fact-based award. I would say that I'd ask you to join and to have every awarded hospital supporting the mission, carrying the award, because, you know, we're a mission-driven organization. A good portion of our profits go to women's causes, and at the end of the day, we can't do it without them. So in a perfect world, I'd get everyone's attention, and they would understand what we're trying to do is work together to create a better patient experience.
Well, Dahlia, you're amazing, and amazing the brand that you've created in a relatively short time. Just truly amazing. How do people find out more about you and the Women's Choice Awards?
I would love anyone to call me. I'm very accessible. People, that's another thing. I think leaders should be available. You should talk whenever you get an opportunity to talk to the customer, the patient, leaders in the industry, anyone. So please feel free to email me at dpassy@womenschoiceaward.com. You can go to womenschoiceaward.com. You'll see our telephone number there to contact us, info@womenschoiceaward.com. The team will get it to me. You can call me. I'll give you my cell. You can text me, 914-646-1257. You know, put yourself out there and enjoy the opportunity to get to know new people. And that's always been the way I am. Never eat alone.
No, it's fantastic. And the book Never Eat Alone is something that was recommended to me by somebody aggressively, you know, and I've never been able to get through the whole book, but I have the concept. I do get the concept,
right.
But it's magnificent. Dahlia, it's a great pleasure visiting with you. I'm really, truly impressed by what you've done. It's amazing. And continued good luck with what you're doing. Just fantastic.
Thank you. Same to you and to everyone out there.